We rise. And now, having received the true body and blood of Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and the strengthening of your faith, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give to you his peace.
Hallelujah.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to welcome everyone to worship and a few announcements. Don't forget coffee hour immediately following worship in the town square. And the Redeemer Social Committee is hosting coffee hour. The Redeemer Social, first time event here at Redeemer on May 19th. And it's only $7 a person. That pretty much covers the food and some of the other expenses. But you bring your own beer and wine. And either you sign up for an appetizer or a dessert, unless you're 25 and under or 75 plus, then you don't need to worry about that. But we would love wonderful attendance. It's really the first time we've had an activity at Redeemer with alcohol. And so the elders are just going to see how you people handle that, you know? But you can buy tickets during coffee hour. We would really look forward to that night. Also, the Birmingham Concert Band is at Redeemer here today at 3 o'clock in the gym. Always a great concert. Youth group tonight, 7 to 9. And our women's ministry is starting a new Bible study Tuesday, Tough as Nails. And Mother's Day Men's Chorus. If you'd like to participate, that's obviously next Sunday. They have their final rehearsal following the 10:30 service in the choir wing. Also, Mother's Son Game Night, May 12th, 6 to 8. Also, today is confirmation. That's why Pastor Rickert and myself are wearing our celebratory robes. This is a chasuble. Somebody said, I didn't know we were at a Catholic church. That's what I heard this morning. But the chasuble, out of all the liturgical wear you'll see in church, this one dates back to the New Testament. The chasuble is mentioned, and it was more of an outer coat. But these are made from our old curtains that used to hang above our altar, and when we replaced them, these date from the 40s to 50s here at Redeemer, we were able to recycle them and make chasubles out of them. We also welcome our Savior Lutheran Church of the Deaf. They usually worship at 10:30, but it is confirmation today, so they moved to 9 o'clock, and they worship with us once a month. And also, we remember in prayer the family of Betty Carpenter. Betty was called to her eternal home this past week. There is a service, a funeral here, Tuesday at 11 in the chapel with visitation before 10 o'clock. We rise for opening hymn.
We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto Thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended Thee, and justly deserve Thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray Thee of Thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. And upon this, your confession, I, as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto you this day, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Please be seated.
Invite the children up for the children's message. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. Who's got a tattoo? Anybody have a tattoo? No? No? No tattoos out there? You know, if you want to be unique in our day and age, don't get a tattoo, really, because it seems everybody has tattoos now. And you want to be unique, just don't get one. But look, here's mine. How do you like that? Huh? That's not really a tattoo, though. I can wash that off. But I wondered, what if I had a real tattoo cross I couldn't get rid of? I mean, you know, I can take off this, or if I have a bracelet with a cross, and I can take that off, and I can set it aside and almost forget that I am a child of God. But, you know, if I had it on me all the time, I could never forget. I could never forget. And I could say to myself, especially when I'm tempted to do wrong, hey, I shouldn't be doing that. I belong to God. And so we're going to talk about today, with 27 confirmants, we're going to talk about today the importance of remembering who we are and to whom we belong. And believe it or not, well, I'll tell your parents. But I'll tell you. There are some churches in different countries where kids your age get tattooed with the cross to remind them of who you belong to. And so today, guess what? I got a tattoo for you to do at home. It's a washable one that'll make your parents happy, okay? But when you put it on, it's got a nice little Christian saying, which I can't read it because it's backwards. But you can remember it. You know, sometimes I think I'm dyslexic, and then I look at something like this and say, I must not be, but I know I have something there. Okay, anyways. And you can put this on and remember to whom you belong. And even after it's washed off, never forget, you are a child, a son and daughter of God. I want to thank you for going up. Coming up, you can go to Sunday school now.
The Old Testament reading this morning is recorded in the prophet Ezekiel, the 9th chapter. Then I heard him call out in a loud voice, "Bring near those who were appointed to execute judgment on the city, each with a weapon in his hand." And I saw six men coming from the direction of the upper gate, which faces north, each with a deadly weapon in his hand. With them was a man clothed in linen who had a writing kit at his side. They came in and stood beside the bronze altar. Now the glory of the God of Israel went up from above the cherubim, where it had been, and moved to the threshold of the temple. Then the Lord called to the man clothed in linen who had the writing kit at his side and said to him, "Go throughout the city of Jerusalem and put a mark on the foreheads of those who grieve and lament over all the detestable things that are done in it." Here ends the Old Testament reading. The epistle reading is recorded in the book of Revelation, chapter 7. After this, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds of the earth to prevent any wind from blowing on the land or on the sea or on any tree. Then I saw another angel coming up from the east, having the seal of the living God. He called out in a loud voice to the four angels who had been given power to harm the land and the sea, "Do not harm the land or the sea or the trees until we put a seal on the foreheads of the servants of our God." Here ends the epistle reading. We rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The gospel reading this morning is recorded in selected portions of John chapter 15. "If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belonged to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember what I told you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. As it is, they have seen, and yet they have hated both me and my Father. But this is to fulfill what is written in their law. They hated me without reason." Here ends the gospel reading. We join together in confessing our Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. "I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible,
and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men,
for our salvation, came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church, I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated.
Mercy and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. What a great confirmation hymn, filled with such joy and excitement. You know, we started a number of years ago that tradition of the confirmands choosing a hymn. And we always do it on retreat. And in retreat, we, you know, go off site and spend the night. And this year we had to change it up because we did move confirmation to a later date, and the schools in this area don't plan their trip till D.C. till after our calendar is planned. It turned out a lot of our young people were going to D.C., but they were going to get back late at night on Friday. So Ashley Leeds had a great idea, who's in charge of our confirmation program, just meet here. And we spent the night here. And then Saturday, you know, I come with Gary Priscorn this year and spend time with the kids. And that's the time we're to choose the hymn. I forgot this year. So I chose their hymn. I like it, huh? Written by St. Francis of Assisi. Wrote it when he was sick and ill and bedridden. But a hymn of praise and trust in God. And as I look at this young group of people, 27 of them, it is a group that I believe takes their faith seriously. And they want to praise God, and they want to live out their faith, and they want to make a difference with their faith. And so it's the perfect hymn as we celebrate them today, and the profession and confession they make. Since it is confirmation, truly it's celebrated at every service, because we want to be reminded what our confirmation was about. Obviously, confirmation is a man-made tradition. But the reason the church started it, they wanted to connect people of a certain age making their profession of faith to their baptism. Because the majority of us, let's face it, we were baptized as infants. Somebody had to speak on our behalf. And confirmation was created for these young people to come and profess their faith on their own. But truly it is a day that takes them back to the baptismal font, and it's a day that we are reminded, as we think of our confirmation, to go back to the baptismal font, to feel our foreheads, to realize they're still damp, they're still wet. You know, our baptism wasn't a thing that took place long ago and has no meaning today. That water today is real, it's wet, and it's deep, and it's as powerful today as it was the day you were baptized. And it's a day we're reminded of what that means. Our Old Testament lesson for today, strange reading. Ezekiel has a vision. In this vision, we're told that there were warriors with weaponry. They were going to execute God's judgment. But before God was going to judge, he wanted this individual dressed in linen. It's interesting, we're told what he is wearing. This is the clothing of a high priest. Remember, Jesus in the New Testament, we're told, is the great high priest. He is our priest forever. And this most likely in this vision is Christ. And he goes out to put a mark on his people that belong to him. In the Hebrew, the word for mark, you go to the last letter of the alphabet in Hebrew, tau. That's the letter for mark. Instead of spelling out the mark or making a mark, you just put the tau. And the tau is really a capital T. We often refer to it as the Old Testament cross. When God told the people that he was going to redeem out of Egypt to put the blood on their doorpost, he said, put a mark. They probably put a cross over their door. And God, the angel of death, passed over and God delivered them. This mark in this vision is probably the Old Testament cross. And then we have the epistle lesson from Revelation. These two books of the Bible are very connected. Again, we're being told about a judgment. But before the judgment, Christ is going to seal or mark all those who belong to him. When you were baptized, the pastor most likely said these words, "Receive the sign of the Holy Cross, both upon your forehead and upon your heart, to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified." That's the mark. 2 Timothy 2:19, "Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed, marked with this inscription, the Lord knows those who are his." Ephesians 1:13, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit," Ephesians 4:30, "and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed or marked for the day of redemption." Receive the sign of the Holy Cross, both upon your forehead and upon your heart, to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. Everybody's got tattoos now. I mean, if you want to be a unique, just don't get a tattoo. It seems it's so popular. Everybody has one. And the history of tattoos, we know, at least dates back to 2000 BC. We found evidence of that. It was something very common. Even within the first and second century after Christ's departure, his ascension into heaven, Christians were tattooing themselves. There was a sect, the Montanism, and this sect really put a lot of emphasis on the book of Revelation, especially the verses we read. And we heard about the seal, the mark. And so they would tattoo a cross in their forehead or on their arm, their wrist. And it was common practice in those days, if you were a slave, many times you'd be tattooed by who owned you. And so these Christians said, we are slaves of Christ. We are his servants. And we're going to wear his brand. We are going to wear his mark. Even to this day and age in Egypt, some small group of Christians within their culture make it a practice to tattoo children with the cross. It's to serve as a reminder to whom they belong all the days of their life. It is to inspire. It is to remind them of to whom they belong and whom they serve. And if tempted, because in these places they're persecuted, if tempted to deny Christ, they got the mark. We make it a practice to give our kids a gift every year. You know, could you imagine if tattooing was part of the confirmation ceremony? That'd be pretty cool. I brought it up to the elders, but they were worried about lawsuits. I don't know why. Got them a bracelet with a cross in it. The mark. Unfortunately, it's something you can take off and put on again. Sometimes we're tempted to do that with our faith. We put it on when it's convenient and we take it off. We give it little thought throughout the rest of our day or maybe the rest of our week. How often will we think of to whom we belong and what we're here for? You know, I hope for the kids, these young people who profess their faith today, that they're reminded of the mark. That they're reminded, and today is a good day for us to remember our baptism, to come to the font, to feel the dampness, you know, to hear the voice of the baptismal waters, a voice that should drown out all the other voices we hear. And think of all the voices that clamor for our attention, especially within the young generation and technology and all that comes their way. There's so many voices calling to them, do this and do that, follow this path, follow this road. Voices. Let's see, God can never forgive you for what you did. Voices that say, you're worthless. Voices that say, you're better off dead than alive. Voices that say, you have nothing to contribute and nothing to give. Voices that say, nobody loves you. And to let that baptismal voice drown out all those other voices, to be reminded each and every day that we are dearly loved and that we have been clothed in the grace of God through the blood of Christ and that we belong to him and that our life does have mission, our life does have purpose, and there is a reason for our existence. And we have been set aside to make an eternal difference. You know, often when we talk about Redeemer, we talk about, you know, the people who sat in these pews before us and the people who will follow. Like, well, within families also, there's a link in the chain, isn't there? Passing the faith to the next generation. Sometimes there's a link that's broken, and then maybe it's up to the grandparents to pass that faith to the grandchildren. You know how important it is to pass that down. And I know for the young people being confirmed today, it's important to their parents and grandparents, their loved ones, to pass on that faith. In fact, Will Farah's being confirmed today. His grandpa's Reverend Ron Farah. He's going to come up and do the confirmation for his grandchild. What a reminder that we have this responsibility and this obligation. You know, we invest so much of ourselves, so much of our time, so much of our energy, and we wonder why young people don't think church is important. We invest all those things to make sure our young people get a great education, know what they need to know, and achieve and accomplish all that they dream and want. And yet how little we invest in this, in the faith. But when you're laying on your deathbed, saying goodbye to a child or a grandchild or a great-grandchild, what's going to be on your mind? I want to see you on the other side. I want a future with you. So often we forget that. And I hope for these young people, you know, they're just starting their faith journey, their life journey, and they're going to go to different places, and maybe they'll get lost in the faith. Maybe they'll wander away for a period of time. Maybe they'll forget the importance or not remember they have been marked for eternity. And if they're anything like me, some of the gifts they got at confirmation will travel with them all their days. I have things I received at confirmation. They're still with me. They'll travel with them to college maybe, that first apartment, the first home. Take this out from one drawer into a box into another drawer. And I hope when they see it and when they touch it, they ask themselves, am I still wet? I can feel the dampness. I remember I've been marked to whom I belong. Because that baptismal water, the sound of that, will drown all the other sounds. I want you to give some thought this week to your baptism and confirmation, the faithful profession. I want you to give some thought about how God did that saving act for you, and God claimed you, and you were marked. You received the sign of the Holy Cross both upon your forehead and upon your heart, and marked you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. Think about what that means in your life. Go back to the font again and again and again and be reminded that you are dearly loved and that you have been set aside for a higher calling and a higher purpose and that your life does make a difference and that your eternity is for sure in Christ. And until then, be a faithful servant of the one who owns you, to whom you serve. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We rise to sing the offertory.
Christ. Let us pray. Almighty God, receive our humble and unending thanks that Christ suffered for us so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. Grant that we might follow in the steps of our Savior Jesus and act in love and trusting ourselves to Him alone for help. Bless today's confirmands as they make their public confession of faith and receive your Son's body and blood in Holy Communion. Strengthen and preserve them in saving faith that they may attain to the goal of eternal life in the joy and eternity of heaven. Hear our prayers on behalf of all who cry out to you. Grant them the grace of your help and healing. And we pray especially for those who have asked us to do so on their behalf, especially for those who are grieving the death of loved ones, including Cherise Bates and her family, as they mourn the death of her mother, Joan Adams, and Shirley Arkles and her family as they mourn the death of her husband, Ron, and the family and friends of Carol Dahl as they mourn her death, and also the family and friends who are mourning the death of Betty Carpenter. Father, fill these grieving hearts with reassurance and with peace. Father, we also pray for those who are recovering from health concerns. Linda Navalta, Marilyn Stargard, Scott Parisot, Michael Hamsey, Stephen Piazza, Phyllis Candy, William Bullock, Lois Becker, Mary Ellen Bauer, Jerry and Mary Heller, Laura Anderson, Bev Adams, Bob Lee, Lenore Stevens, Joyce Douglas, Carl Disler, Gloria Peterson, Jan Dilley, Christine Hall, Elmer Compton, Reverend Richard Krugler, Bill and Marianne Holloway, Amy Wargolin, Janice Tobias, Richard Steele, Abby Schneider, Susan, Bev Moore, Lisa Palmari, Karen Barker, Robert Waldron, Priscilla McFall, Izzy Sherman, Libby, Pam Sarkisian, Sue Tome, Linda, Tracy Tripp, Zach Endress, and Terry Heft. Father, grant unto these your servants the grace of healing. Father, we pray also for those who are in hospice care, including Bill Carter and Mr. Cagle. Grant them comfort, peace, and faith as they await your call home. We continue to pray for those who are unemployed and underemployed. Father, we pray that you would direct them to meaningful work by which they could support themselves and their families. We pray for the president and for all local, national, and world leaders. Lord, grant them good judgment in carrying out the responsibilities of their elected offices. We continue to pray for those who are serving in the armed forces of our country. Watch over and bless them, give them strength. And Father, we thank you for those who serve in our local communities, law enforcement officers, firemen, EMS workers, and many others. And Lord, we give you thanks this day for those who are celebrating birthdays and anniversaries, and for all who will be graduating from college very soon. And Lord, we give you thanks for the flowers at the altar given by the confirmation class, as well as those at the lectern and in the chapel. We also give you thanks, O Lord, for those who are sponsoring the Family of God Soup Kitchen and Positive Parenting this month, the Grove, Meisel, Durantes, Mammal, and Merriman families. To your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." And in the same way also, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of all of your sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. And the peace of the Lord be with you always."